Come, Holy Spirit, and fill the hearts of your faithful. Kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and you shall renew the face of the earth. Amen. Our vision statement, living like Jesus and bringing joy to God. We're working through the Sermon on the Mount and how that plays out for us in our vision statement, living like Jesus and bringing joy to God. And this Sunday, the emphasis is on spiritual practices. What are they? Why do we need them? Why do we want to do them when our days, hours, minutes, seconds are packed, planned, and promised with deadlines, demands, and dilemmas? I worked hard on putting all those together. Why take time for spiritual practices when there is certainly enough else to do? These words that come to us from Jesus in Matthew are words of guidance, how to live, how to prioritize our lives. And you know, Jesus, we discovered along the way, goes from preaching and blessing to meddling, and that is what Jesus is doing with us today. He's meddling. If you'll note in this text, there are all kinds of action words like pray and fast and wash your face and put oil on your head. Action words. Jesus is telling us how to become fully alive. Jesus said, live in me and you'll draw near to the heart of God. But with those action words, Jesus is saying you have to work at it. And those are spiritual practices. There's an old saying that I've traced all the way back to the ancients. It's, there's a hole in your heart that only God can fill. I think we've discovered that in our own lives and throughout the centuries as we yearn for God. There's a hole in our heart that only God can fill. It's born out of truth. We are longing for something that's other than us. If we take time to hit the pause button in our life, and that's hard to do, but if you take time to hit that pause button, we discover there's more to life than meets the eye. And it becomes a reality that there is but one God and we're not it. To fill our hearts with God, that requires being open to God. Our hearts need to be open. All of Jesus' life embodied God. All that Jesus did points to God. Matter of fact, a divinity school professor told me one time if Jesus were here, he would have a sign holding it up saying, it's about God. Everything that Jesus did pointed us to God. And so our goal is to be more like Jesus and not expect Jesus to be more like us. We know what religion is. It's a spiritual life that's harder to grasp. It's not rules and laws. It's not concrete. It's different for everybody. Those spiritual practices, those practices of holiness, of opening our heart, that hole in our heart that longs for God. I have the privilege of mentoring a young clergy woman, and believe me, she is teaching me more than I am teaching her. It's a privilege to be with her. And I heard her confession a couple of weeks ago. She said, you know, I am really scared to be a pastor. Believe me, you should be. She said, and I'm really afraid. I said, believe me, you should be. It's a scary, fearful thing to do. But then she said in her daily devotion, this is what she read. Jesus Christ embodied a radical openness to God and thus the fullness of God's mission to redeem the world. That stopped her in her tracks, she said, a radical openness to God. And she said if she dwelt on her fear of failure, she didn't have that radical openness to God, and she was limiting what God could do through her. Radical openness to God. And so I asked her, how do you do that? And she said, through the spiritual practices that Jesus teaches us, like prayer and scripture reading and even fasting. But she said the most important thing to her is living into the Word of God and her daily devotions and scripture reading. She said this all leads into the presence of God. As Paul says, the one in whom we live and move and have our being. Paul also tells us that we see through a glass dimly, but we do see through it. The light does shine through it. Our Celtic brothers and sisters many centuries ago talked about those places where they see God. They called them thin places. There are thin places in this world where we see God. God is not somewhere else, but God is here in all things and in all of us. God is present with us. Thomas Merton puts it this way: life is this simple. We are living in a world that is absolutely transparent, and God is shining through it all the time. This is not just a fable or a nice story. It is true. If we abandon ourselves to God and forget ourselves, we see it sometimes. God shows himself everywhere, in everything, in people and in things and in nature and in events. It becomes very obvious that God is everywhere and in everything, and we cannot be without him. It's impossible, Merton says. The only thing is, we don't see it. So what are spiritual disciplines? How do we see God? What is it that Jesus is telling us to do? How do we become one with our Creator? Well, as I said, these are not so easy to define. They're not beliefs and laws, and they're not in concrete. You have to find your own spiritual practice, what draws you closer to God. And then, just as importantly as finding it, is praying for the discipline to do it. That's the hardest part, the discipline to do it. Pray for that. Have any of you taken a Myers-Briggs test where you find out if you're an introvert or an extrovert, personality test? Yes, I'm an introvert, Tim. I mean extrovert, Tim. I knew you knew that. It tells you where you fit in life, how you relate to everything in this world, actually. And the way to discover what that means is if your batteries are charged by being with other people, if your soul is fed in community, you're more than likely an extrovert. If your soul is filled in solitude by yourself, you're more than likely an introvert. We fall somewhere along that spectrum, each and every one of us. And that's helpful for me to understand it as an extrovert, because I see myself more fully alive. I see myself more fully aware of God and who God is when I live in community. The thoughts of going in a room, as Jesus said in Scripture, and closing the door and spending time in solitude doesn't always feed my soul. It's something I need to try to do, and I know that. And I'm going to be aware of that. Particularly, I'm going to make a vow to do that this next week in my life. But that doesn't feed my soul as much as being in community. So if you know if you're an introvert or an extrovert, I think that will help you decide what you're going to do. And by the way, when Jesus is talking about prayer in this passage, he's telling us to guard against that public show, being a hypocrite. After all, prayer is for you, not just for everyone else. So don't ignore that solitude if you're an extrovert, or that community if you're an introvert. But look for God. Look for God. I feel that, and I know that to be more fully aware of my life, I must look for God as we gather in community. These thin places take all kinds of forms. First of all, there could be a voice or a sound that is a thin place for you where God comes near, where perhaps you say the Lord's Prayer as we have just read in this scripture, or you say the Wesleyan Covenant Prayer, or you pray the Psalms out loud, or in music, you draw near to God. That's a thin place. And then there are sights that may draw us closer to God, like the beauty of a sunrise, or being out in your garden and digging in God's good earth. Or I think it's Alice Walker who talks about God gets mad if you walk past the color purple in a field and don't notice it. Maybe God draws near to you in the top of a mountain, or that's what we call them in Tennessee, but it's really a big hillside, looking out on the beautiful farmland below. The ancients saw their place of finding that thin place, drawing near to God, by going on a pilgrimage to Jerusalem. Some of you may have been there as well. Maybe that thin place, that holy place for you, is turning into your driveway, or coming into the sanctuary. Barbara Brown Taylor calls these an altar in the world. There are many altars in this world if we look for them. For me, I see God in a field of daffodils in the spring that come up every year that remind me that seasons change, but God is the same. And in every spring, there will be a daffodil that blooms forth from the earth and reminds me of resurrection. I like to run, not walk. I know that's healthier for you, but I like to run. Just recently took that up, and I don't listen to music, and I hear I'm really strange. Everybody I see has the earphones that bobs in your ears, and they're really moving faster than me. I go at a snail's pace because they're listening to good music, I'm sure, but I like to hear the pounding of my feet on the earth, and I like to hear the chorus of the birds singing, and I like to almost hear the grass grow. That's holy to me. That's a sacred place to me. That's where God comes near and feeds my soul. So the point is, Jesus calls us into spiritual practices and having them so concrete in our heart, so important in our lives that we cannot help but be molded and shaped by them and thus draw closer to the heart of God, having that hole in your heart that it's only God who can fill it. So find your practice, find your spiritual practice that feeds your soul. And then how do you get there? Well, the old, how do you get to Carnegie Hall? Practice, practice, practice. Practice. Have discipline in your life. Pray for that discipline for these spiritual practices to become part of who you are. How do you incorporate them? One of the ways that is very significant to me is to be in a covenant group. We meet once a week and have for 7 years. This covenant that we make together with ourselves and with God forms me, molds me, shapes me. Every week we have to be accountable to one another and thus to God about acts of mercy and justice and devotion and worship. And truth be told, I fail now and then. But I have my sisters in Christ to remind me of that and to draw me closer into those spiritual practices that lead me to God. We open our covenant by saying, through God's prompting in the example of Jesus, and then we read our covenant and we end it. We will keep this covenant together, encouraged by the Holy Spirit, grounded in the Word of God, encouraged by our witness to each other, and encouraged by speaking the truth in love. On my own, I couldn't do this. But knowing every week I have an accountability place, it makes it more important in my life. If you are interested in doing this yourself, our discipleship area can help you find and form a covenant group. Or you may simply gather some friends around you and meet weekly to be accountable to one another. What are you doing to draw closer to the heart of God? I end with a story from Max Strange, who's our pastor at the Trinity campus down in Spring Hill. He's a trusted colleague and friend, and sometimes I call him my evil twin. Really good guy. And he told me a story that has stuck in my heart, that has formed me and shaped me and helped me to stay on that journey of seeking God in my life more fully and completely in that hole in my heart that only God can fill. Said he was trying to make a decision between two different career paths. One was in Asheville, North Carolina, and one was in Louisville, Kentucky. And he couldn't decide which one he was supposed to do, and he didn't feel like he was getting any answers from God, and so he just felt at a loss. And so he found himself journeying up to the Abbey of Gethsemane in Kentucky and spending time there in solitude, listening for God. He talked to a monk when he arrived there and told him why he was there. And then he went out and sat by a pond. And the word he said that kept coming to him as he sat by this pond was dry. Dry. And he recognized his soul was dry. He was thirsty to be in the presence of God. And so he spent a couple of days in prayer and devotion. But at the end of this time, he still didn't know what God would have him to do. And so he went back to the monk he met at the very beginning and explained his dilemma. Where do I go? Asheville, Louisville. And then he knew, he felt he heard God say, it doesn't matter to me. It doesn't matter to me where you go, as long as you know that your ultimate destiny is to me. We have choices we make in our lives and places to go, decisions to make. But we must keep at the center of our hearts that our ultimate destiny is God. And those spiritual practices that help to lead us there will mold us and shape us as we grow into the heart of God. We walk along a journey, and Christ leads the way. Christ is calling us to be faithful. Spiritual practices may keep us there. And may we remember always that Christ goes before us to show us the way, and beside us to befriend us, and behind us to encourage us. And all that happens, all that we do, may we give glory to God. Let us pray. Lord of us all, may we be attentive to you and to everything in your world. Give us pure hearts that we may see you, humble and open hearts that we may hear you, hearts of love that we may serve you, hearts of faith that we may abide in you.